Good morning, and happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully you'll be able to hear me. I'm kind of wrestling with a frog in my throat this morning. I'll get him. Greater is he than in me than he that's in my throat. I just keep on speaking health and wholeness over my body. Thank you, Lord. I just want to welcome Lule here this morning. I was just great to have you back. If you're wondering, I haven't seen Lule lately. It's because she's been in Estonia for the last 3-4 months. And we've been seeing reports, we've been hearing reports of wonderful stuff that's going on and working with the children there and seeing, it sounds like lots of kids give their hearts to Jesus. That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Also want to give you greetings from Mark and Bridget, who are in South Africa this morning, actually, South Africa time, which was 6 hours ago. Mark was preaching in their old church, which is called HCC as well, Heights. No, Highway City Church. So got a text message this morning, and they just want to send their love to you this morning. As you know, we're studying the book of what? Romans, that's right. Good, you've been paying attention over the last few weeks. So this is my kick at the can at Romans. This is part 5, I think the slide's up. God's righteousness revealed in his sovereign choice. And as Chris said, just a wonderful time this morning of just singing and praising God. God's righteousness, it would be good before we even start to understand, well, what does that mean? What's God's righteousness revealed in his sovereign choice? So the easiest thing is to just go over again, what is God's righteousness? And in my systematic theology book, this is what it says. It says, God's righteousness means that God always acts in according with what is right. That's pretty amazing. And that he himself is the final standard of what is right. That's what his righteousness is all about. He's right in everything. He's the standard. He's the measuring stick that we determine what is right, what is wrong. Moses, speaking of God in Deuteronomy 32:4, says, all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Psalm 19:8 says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And Isaiah 45:19 says, I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Can we speak of God's righteousness? That's what we're speaking about. Well, what do we mean by his sovereign choice? Well, in order to understand God's sovereignty, we need to understand his omnipotence first. Because God's omnipotent means that God is able to do all his holy will. And it comes from two Latin words. One, omni, which means all. And the second one, potens, which means powerful. So God is all powerful. And it has to do with his, not his ability, but his ableness. And I don't even know if that's a word. But his ableness to do whatever he decides to do that is consistent with his character. That's the key. It's whatever he decides to do, but it needs to be consistent with his character. So God's exercise of power over his creation is also called God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty is the exercise of his rule as sovereign king over his creation. So sovereign decisions that God makes are exercising his power and authority over us in the matter of how he chooses to reveal his righteousness. And we see that in Romans 1:17. The context in chapters, what we're basically covering is chapters 9, 10, 11. And I'm not going to really speak this morning about that context, but just to give you a brief idea of what was going on is the Jewish people, Israel, God's chosen, and then the non-Jews, and the whole debate about their choice, their being the chosen people. And Paul is speaking to Romans and to new Christians in Rome, because most of them had no or very little idea of the Old Testament and the covenant that God had made with the nation of Israel. Yet he felt it was important to explain something of the nature of God and of his ways. And today we're not Roman citizens, but we're citizens of God's kingdom. And we also live in a world that doesn't understand who God is. I think sometimes we don't really understand who God is either. And often we have a very distorted view of who he is. And so this message is a message that can help us today. Understanding God's righteousness revealed in the decisions and the choices that God has made. And again, as I said, I'm not going to go through the historical context. I'm hoping this morning is just to express the heart of what Paul was speaking about, but to do so in a context that relates to things that you and I understand. God's love, his salvation, our faith, God's mercy and grace are threads which are continually woven through these chapters, reminding us of God's heart for mankind to come into relationship with him. I mean, that ultimately is what God is on about, is restoring. And he has restored that relationship in Jesus Christ. But it's to see everyone come into a knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior. And this is not about giving us more rules, but it's to give us a greater revelation, a greater understanding of the Father and of his Son Jesus and of the Holy Spirit. I know Mark, when he began this series, spoke about, you know, Romans would be a good book to give new Christians to get into. And it's true. And as I've gone and I've read the book of Romans, as I'm sure you have many, many times, but just looking at it with a slightly different aspect of it, looking for the righteousness of God, I've come to realize is John is a wonderful book that gives us a revelation of God's love. I see Romans almost as a foundation building, a book, building a foundation of truth. This morning, I want you to try, if you can, throw away any notions of your rights or of your position, of your connections, and of your status, your social standing. I want you to throw away any ideas that you have about whether you're wealthy or not wealthy, what your family lineage is, what your likes or dislikes are, what your age is, or whether you have seniority or don't have seniority. Whatever your education is, I wanted to throw all notions of that away. How much you earn, how beautiful or how handsome you may think you are. And you're beautiful, darling. But throw that notion away. What kind of car you drive, what kind of truck you drive, how big your wheels are. The clothes you wear, how eloquent you speak, or how hard you work. These are things that Paul was speaking to the Roman people. And there are things I think that God continues to want to give us his true revelation of our righteousness in Christ. That it doesn't come as a result of what we do or who we are. But it comes as a gift from God, and a wonderful, liberating gift. Paul, in reading to the Romans, asks a number of questions. He gives them a number of warnings, and we'll kind of touch on a bit of that. But I just feel that, you know, it's very hard to trust someone. It's very hard to accept someone's decisions when they're made on our behalf, if we don't understand what's behind it, if we don't understand their heart. And I think one of the things that Paul is speaking to is just the necessity to know God's heart, because we're all faced with questions, and questions are really good to have. Ian McKellar, who spoke at the Equip Time in Denver, was encouraging us. He said, it's good to ask questions. God loves questions. He doesn't say, no, don't ask that. No, we need to ask him questions, because really there's so much that we don't understand. I mean, his ways are so far different than ours. He sees things in a much greater way, in a bigger way. And of course, part of what helps us to know what some of those bigger, greater ways of God is by seeing the nature of God revealed in Scripture. And that's why in Romans 10:17, it says that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of God. Because it's in hearing the Word of God, it's coming into an understanding and a personal relationship with God that we begin to come to know his ways. Some of the questions that Paul was addressing with the Romans people were things like, is God unjust? And we hear that in the church and outside the church. We say, how can a just God allow things to happen in the world? Wars and children to be killed, people to die of sickness. But that's not God. That's a consequence of, again, of our unbelief and choices that we have made. The things that happen in the world are so much a result of, again, the fall of man, and a consequence of a sin-filled world that we live in. And it doesn't reflect the heart of God. The heart of God is good. I love that first song that we sang about the goodness of God. God is good. He wants the best for us. He loves us. His plans for us are yes and amen. He is a just and right God. Problem again is we don't know God's thoughts. But we need to come to a place where we make a decision. So much of what it is to live the life that God has called us to do is based on a decision. You know, whether it's in a marriage, the tensions that exist in the marriage, the difference is a personality that exists. But all of that can be sorted out in Christ, through Christ. But it starts with a decision that we make too, that love is a decision. And our decision also to trust in God is a decision, even though we don't understand what it is that he's doing, even though we may not understand the decisions that he makes for us. But we can celebrate the decision that he's chosen us. Just like it says it chose the people of Israel as his chosen people. And he's chosen you and I as well. I think I've told you before, you know, I wasn't looking for God. I thought my life was going along pretty good until I met this woman over here, and she told me about this person called Jesus. And that changed and transformed my life forever. But I realized that God chose me. It wasn't about me choosing him. And realizing what he's done in his goodness for us, that we can make a decision to stop trying to doubt him or stop trying to make decisions in our life because we don't understand what God is doing. We don't understand the circumstances. But we have to go back to the promises that he's spoken, not only over our lives, but over his people. The promises to do good, the promises to take us into his presence and into a deeper relationship with him. Remember, God doesn't make mistakes. He's a righteous God. He only does what's right. And as I said, we only see that from a very narrow perspective. But God sees it with a much greater plans, because his plans, he knows exactly what they are. Paul addresses the questions of what happens again when we mess things up, when we stumble, when we go off track. Do we lose our place in God? And he says, no, we don't. Our choices obviously can influence sometimes the journey that we take and where it takes us to. But it doesn't jeopardize our relationship with God. Our righteousness, the imputed righteousness that we have, is given from the moment that we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we don't need to second guess God, but we need to just choose to obey him, choose to live in the way that he's called us to live. He gives us a few warnings again. He says, not to boast. He warns the Romans not to boast, not to be arrogant, but to be afraid. He says, not to be conceited or self-opinionated. And why are those important? Because in the midst of not understanding all of God's ways, we can go down the track of either boasting about ourselves and how good and great we are, at the expense usually of always someone else. Or we can just choose to be sober-minded, remembering that, again, Jesus saved us. It wasn't anything that we did. It was not our own circumstances. But it's because he loves us. Not to be arrogant, not to become proud or conceited, but rather stand in awe and be reverently afraid because of the righteous one. Because it's so easy in the midst of not understanding things that we can become arrogant. We become arrogant about what we do here. We can say, you know, the worship here is absolutely fantastic. And maybe we can become critical of things in other churches because somehow we think that we've got it right. But we need to remind ourselves, we have it right in the sense of where we are in God. But we, again, God tells us not to judge. He's the one who judges, not us. See, we wrestle sometimes with trusting God because we don't totally understand who he is. And this is something that obviously the Jewish people wrestled with. They knew about Messiah. They looked forward to Messiah. The Old Testament spoke of the coming of Messiah. There were all sorts of prophetic words that came describing who Messiah was, and Jesus filled every single one of those prophecies. But in spite of that, they had their own idea. They thought about it was Messiah who's going to come riding on a white horse. And he does, but that's later on. But who was going to be a king, who is going to defeat their enemies, defeat the Roman Empire. They couldn't see the Messiah in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He didn't fit their description. He didn't fit even the picture of what they wanted him to be. And that's the danger. Sometimes we have a picture of what we think God is, and if he doesn't fit that picture, then we can allow unbelief to come. And as soon as unbelief comes, it's a wedge that comes and hinders our relationship with them. Or in some cases, obviously, prevents us from coming into a knowledge of who this Jesus is. Because we either don't understand totally or we choose not to. I mean, we often live our lives in ways that are partially living out the life that we should live. but leaving out those other things, because we kind of wrestle with those things. And it's difficult to trust, as I said before, someone who we're not sure is telling the truth in our lives. If you turn to Romans 10, we see a little bit of an example of what that is when Paul is describing really the heart of the Jewish people. And it says in verse 3, it says, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God. And that righteousness is speaking of our righteousness, which is simply our right standing in God. And that right standing is what Christ gives us, legally gives us. And nothing can take that away. So since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, which is something that we do when we don't understand, they did not submit to God's righteousness. They did not submit to the righteousness of God, which is His being the standard of all that is right. Him being a person who can only say what is right. They couldn't submit to that righteousness. They couldn't get around it. They didn't understand it. And as a result of that, they didn't come into the righteousness that speaks of faith. And I think the Lord this morning is wanting us to come into that place where we understand that God's ability to only do what is right and His sovereign choice, which is His authority and power to make decisions, to make choices for us, is the place that we need to accept and understand and embrace. Not a place of questioning and wrestling. Not a place of deciding, well, I won't believe that, and I'll choose to do this instead. Because understanding that God can only do and say what is right, and that His decisions that He makes for us are just and right as well, allows us to live, I believe, in the freedom, in the liberty. And when we're being in that place, when we live in that place, we're able to experience the fullness of God. We're able to experience a faith that grows because out of an understanding and a relationship with our God. Because I believe, as we read further in Romans, we see a glimpse, I think, of where God wants us to be. If we pick it up in verse 8, and it's in reference to Moses saying, but the righteousness that is by faith says this. What does it say? In verse 8 it says that the Word is near you. The Word, Jesus, is near you. Christ is the Word. So Jesus is near us. He's near you. He's in your mouth, and He's in your heart. When we come to understand this righteous one, He's in our mouth. It becomes a confession of our mouth and an expression in our heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming, that if we confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It's in our heart that this needs to translate to. And I think this is something that the Jewish people struggled with. And I think today it's something that we struggle with as well. We still think, part of us is still thinking, I've got to do something. I've got to work out my salvation. Jesus says, no, I've done that. I've done that already. Your salvation, I've given to you as a free gift. It comes by faith in me. No, it has to do with a matter of the heart. It's no longer a circumcision, a physical circumcision, which was in the Old Testament, which was a sign that they belonged to God. The circumcision in the new law, the new covenant that Jesus made for us, is, again, we know it's a circumcision of the heart. It's a sign of the heart. It's a sign about how we choose to live our lives out. And this only comes when we embrace, and we begin to understand who this Jesus is. When we begin to understand the righteousness of God, and that everything that he's laid out for us, every decision that he has made is for our good, even when we don't understand it. That when we make a decision to follow him, then God, in his faithfulness and in his desire to see us grow, will begin to reveal that reality, begin to massage that truth more and more into our lives. In Romans 11, I'm just going to end with that. It says this, verses 33 to 36. And it's all about, this scripture is fantastic. You should read it several times because it really reveals who God is. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Version, but you should be able to follow it anyway. And it says this about our God. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unfathomable are his judgments, are his decisions. And how untraceable or mysterious are his ways, his methods, his paths. For who has known the mind of God, and who has understood his thoughts, and who has ever been his counselor? Or who has first given God anything that he may pay back, or that he can claim as a recompense? For from him and through him and to him are all things. For all things originate with him and come with him. All things live through him, and all things center in and tend to consummate and to end in him. To him be the glory forever." This is the God that we're speaking of. This is the righteousness of God that is revealed in his sovereign choices and his sovereign decisions. We see in verse 33 that it says his decisions are unsearchable. So it's actually okay if you don't understand them. But they are unsearchable because he's righteous. So let's make a decision rather than to freak out about that. Say, "God, okay, they're unsearchable, I don't understand, but I choose to believe what you're saying to me. I choose to accept wherever I am, but trusting in you, that you'll see me through this." It says his methods are untraceable, they're mysterious. That's right, because he's God. Why would we think that we would be able to understand all of that? But I believe God wants to reveal himself, and we will get a revelation when we make a choice to say, "Okay, God, I'm with you. Don't understand your ways, but I'm with you, God. Don't understand. I don't understand why today when I get a chance to preach, I have this frog in my throat. Or why I couldn't sleep until midnight last night. I don't understand. But I'm choosing. God, you have an answer. You have a plan and a purpose behind that, whatever may be. I don't maybe get it right now, but I'm trusting I'll get it." Verses 33 and 34 says, "His wisdom and understanding have a depth beyond knowing." So we can kind of relax in that. Again, we don't need to get all freaked out that we don't totally understand him and understand his wisdom, because those things, the depth of those things goes beyond our understanding. One day we will understand. Verse 35, it says, his decisions, it talks about his decisions are his. They're not anyone else's. And that's why he says he doesn't have a circle or a team of people. And he says, well, what do you think, guys? He doesn't have a bunch of consultants around him that says that he has to pay them for their wise and sage words. Because it's his decisions. He's God. He knows. He's right in everything that he does and everything that he says. As Moses said, his ways are just and right. And then in the last verse, it says, he is the center of all things. All things originate from him. All things come from him. All things have their source in him. All things have, not some things, but everything has its start and finish with him. So what part of that do we have trouble with? It's all good. It's all good. He knows all things. Everything starts with him, finishes with him, comes from him. The source of everything is from him. We can relax. We can say, God, I get it. Everything we need is in you. And if I don't understand everything, I can trust you. I can make that decision today. That's what God's righteousness is all about. And today we're just seeing how here's another way that it's revealed in the decisions and choices that God makes for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you chose us. Thank you, Jesus, that you know exactly what's best for us. Lord, I pray that your truth would find a place in our hearts where we can just say, God, I trust you. I don't understand everything that's happening in my life, but I'm going to make a decision today to trust in you because you are good. Let our hearts be open to allow your truth to penetrate in that place of deepness in our hearts. Let us decide that we don't need to know everything. We just need to know that you are right, that you are righteous. So Lord, come today, come in the days ahead, in the weeks, in the months ahead, and give us a greater understanding of who you are. Because we want more of God. Don't we want more? Don't we want the everything of God? Don't we want the bigness? Or are we just going to be content with a few crumbs? I don't know about you, but I want the more of God. And I understand that when to get the more of God means I've just got to trust him, that he's right, and that he knows what's best for us. So Lord, we want the more of you. Because you are good. You are good, Lord. I'd like to ask the musicians to come up again. Is it, you know, Craig, Chris? That first song we sang, I think it's so, the goodness of God. I just think we need to remind ourselves. I think that'll help us get the message this morning about what a great and righteous God we serve. Suggest